Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA back on the airwaves right here from the Real Racing USA Live Studios. And we're fresh back from Lakeland, USA International Speedway, Speed Fest. Winter Nationals, has kicked off in full force racing for 2008. What a car count they had up there, Jack. I mean, they had some race cars up there.
Where's that, Rick?
Lakeland.
Oh, yeah, Lakeland.
You know, the chilly Friday night, the rainy Saturday night, and I didn't go Sunday.
Yeah, actually, I drove 700 miles and I never went further than 100 miles from home. But it was because we kept going back and forth.
Back and forth.
Yeah, but it was worth it. Sunday was pretty cool, man. It was two pretty good shows, a 200 lap race and a 100 lap ASA late model race on top of it. It was pretty cool, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Jeff Choquette made a believer out of some people, huh?
As always, I was impressed with Jeff Choquette. It's hard not to be impressed with him. Whether it's Dickie's car, his own car, dirt, asphalt, it don't matter.
Yeah, I'll tell you, since about last year, about that Cecil Williams Memorial race up at Columbia Motorsports Park in North Florida, ever since then, man, he's been on fire, I'll tell you.
No doubt about it. No. You know, we got there Friday night, and it was chilly. I mean, it got chilly quick. And first thing I see, and I didn't even realize that it was Kyle Busch under the hood of his own car putting a motor in. Bill Green had to tell me that's who it was. I didn't even realize that's who it was because he's under the hood. He's all greasy and working hard, and it paid off. The car was really fast. He just didn't have anything for Choquette. Choquette, the man has got it down, buddy. This kid, if somebody doesn't put him in a big-time ride pretty soon, they're missing out. But like I said, that kicks off Winter Nationals racing, for the month of February. Tomorrow night, January the 30th, East Bay Raceway Park kicks off CS 360 sprint cars and the Florida mini sprints. That's practice tomorrow. Then they kick off in earnest January the 31st, first night of the Winter Nationals. That's this Thursday night. Now, next week, a week from Thursday, we're going to be live from the East Bay Raceway Park for the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Models. That'll be Thursday night. Want to check that out? That ought to be a lot of fun, Jack.
It's going to be more than fun, but I want to go back a minute to the thing with Jeff Choquette and the Lakeland Speed Fest.
Sure.
Some of the people there, of course, were, like Eddie Hoffman and him and Sean Murphy. You know, Eddie raced in both races.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe Winchell, who's a late model driver, he pointed out he used the same car.
No.
That's what Joe said.
No, he had two cars.
Joe said he used the same one.
No, he had two cars.
I'm telling you, that's what Joe said. He said they took the thing. I'm telling you what he said. He said they took the front end off of the one car and used the same car.
Friday night he had two cars.
Yeah, I know, but he wrecked one.
Oh, okay.
And see, his car was wrecked in the first race Saturday. That's something we're going to find out tomorrow night when we talk on the ASA Late Model Show.
Yeah.
ASA.
Which car did he wreck? The
Super.
He wrecked the Super
in the first race. He got tore up in the first race.
And, I'm trying to remember that. I do remember.
No, on Sunday, the 200 lap race.
Okay.
He got his car tore up in the first race.
Right.
Yeah. So Joe said when they were just starting the second race, he said he called me over. He said, he's running the same car in this race because the other car got tore up.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him tomorrow night on the ASA Fast
cool.
Lane. Yeah.
And
I'll tell you, we talked to Jeff Choquette last night on Inside Florida Racing.
Yeah.
And that interview, people can go listen to on Real Racing USA Live, .com. But he talked about, he went into detail about like what it was about there, trying with racing against Kyle Busch.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when Kyle came up and tried to run beside him as they were coming back to the front after pitting. And basically Kyle didn't have nothing for him, man. He got up beside him, and after that was it.
Well, you know, and we talked to him Saturday night after his win, and I was really surprised to learn that he had never won at Lakeland before. That was his first win at Lakeland, but it was his second win of the year already. He had a win in the dirt car down, I believe, at Hendry County Speedway. So Jeff's year is out and going, man. But like I said, next Thursday night, we're going to be live from East Bay Raceway Park. We'll be doing the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Models there. We'll have a bunch of drivers, officials, fans maybe, whatever. We're going to be doing it live at East Bay Raceway Park. Their schedule is next week. This week is going to be the ASCS 360 Sprints. We're going to have Larry Sams from the ASCS on here shortly. Next week will be all 10 days, I believe, or 9 days of Lucas Oil Dirt Late Models. And we'll go back to that here in a little bit.
We got Dave Westerman online with us.
All right.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. How's it going, brother?
Not too bad.
What a weekend of racing, huh?
Oh, I tell you, it was a long one, wasn't it? I guess if you were actually there racing, it was a long one because of the... But if you went there to practice on Thursday, you were there all the way till Sunday night.
Yeah, I believe Jeff Choquette told me they were there since Wednesday. Schofield said the same thing.
Wow, that's a lot of time to be at a racetrack.
Well, Dave, now you've been following. For people who don't know, Dave Westerman's been a media observer and a fan for a long, long time, and is a bit of probably one of the more understanding of the history of racing, especially in Florida, than just about anybody, and maybe Marty Little and a couple other people. But what was your impressions of that race, Dave?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, the ASA race I thought was a lot more competitive than the Super Late Model race was. But, you know, all in all, I mean, considering, you know, it wasn't probably the most competitive race I've ever seen over there, but you know, quality field of cars, you know, a lot of things happening. You know, the big wreck, you know, really took out, you know, several of the contenders. Who knows, you know, what would have happened had...
Schofield, Anderson, et cetera.
Anderson, several of those others.
Right.
You know, Scott Hance was beginning to run pretty good. You know, just, you know, when you're running a 200-lap race, all that preliminary qualifying, all that stuff really goes out the window by the time you make the first pit stop anyway. So... There were a lot of good stories, though. You know, a lot of guys there. I think, I think Kyle Busch, you know, turned a lot of heads there just for the fact that he decided to stay. He was there working on everything. He was just there basically, I think, really just to, you know, with all the stuff coming up with the testing and things coming up at Daytona, it was more like a release for him just to be there and just say, hey, I'm just going to come here and have some fun. And he did a good job, but I think David Rogers did a great job passing him coming off the last turn of the last lap. A little feather of David's cap there, I think. But kid that really impressed me was Jeremy Colangelo driving, you know, the new, he's the new Mark Martin.
Absolutely.
Driver, with Mike Fritz. I had a chance to just sit and talk to Mike for a while about Jeremy because I've known Jeremy really ever since he ran in the quarter midgets. Watched him come up through the Legends cars where he did real well. And, you know, they were, you know, working on a small budget team in the Goodyear Challenge Series last year. And, you know, to get this opportunity, it was great. But I get down there on pit road after the race is over, and they're putting a coat of wax on the car. That car did not have a scratch on it. I mean, once they polished it up, it looked like they had just rolled it out of the trailer. And, Everybody down there was just happy with it. You know, the fact the kid drove with his head, you know, he knew when he wasn't the fastest car, just to move out of the way, let the other guys go. After the big wreck, after their pit stop, they found themselves running third.
Yep.
He did a good job, hung in there, finished sixth, got, you know, they you know, at least made some of their money back. I don't think anybody made any money. But, you know, if you're there 4 days using up all those tires and fuels, ain't no way you're going to make any money at that. But
yeah, he had me digging through my papers during the middle of the race. Who is this?
Yeah, but, you know, and Mike Fritz is working with him. And Mike just says, you know, he says it's hard to get it through to him because he says, you know, Mike is a very laid-back type individual, you know. He isn't when he gets behind a wheel of a race car. And what he's trying to teach Jeremy is to, you know, leave that kindness and that coolness a little bit behind once you get behind the wheel. But he's not pushing him too much. And they're going to get him some seat time in the super late model this year. They're going to run the Sunbelt Series. They've got a Goodyear car they're going to run. They're going to run the Bright House Challenge. And Mike says they're going to bring him out to quite a few of the Friday night super late shows at Orlando just to get him the time behind the wheel that he needs. But, you know, to go out and run your first super late model race and finish sixth, I mean, you know, against the people who were there, you
yep.
know, just amazing.
Yeah,
just
quality field. And, you know, the incident that took center stage, and I heard more different versions of this incident than anybody else, was the Augie Grill Kyle Busch incident on the backstretch.
On Friday night.
On Friday. I was not there on Friday night, so I didn't get a chance to see that, but... yeah, I guess there were some things going on over that, and among other things, I guess on Friday night, you know that, you know when you're dealing with a field of about 40 cars and you're trying to run a couple of hundred lap races and whatnot, you know, I mean, I think according to at least one report, I said that initially, okay, on Thursday, I think there were a total of 44 cars that were in the pit area. And I know a couple of them left after Thursday practice. Sam Watts was one of them, and I think there was one other. And then again,
Drew Brannon had to leave after qualifying.
Yeah, and you know, and again, Tim Russell, you know, had a pretty good reason to, you know, leave after Saturday night because he was getting married. Not much he could do about it. But again, non-point race or anything. No, he would have liked to race, but I don't think his fiance would have appreciated it very much. And you know, Kurt Jett wasn't real happy with the way his cars were running. You know, I think, well, both the Rose from up in New England, they left. Again, one of them just wasn't happy with their car, and the other one, again, crashed in the scuff session on Saturday.
Dave, what about this ASA race? Was that something special watching Sean Murphy put on the show or what?
I tell you what, he did an excellent job because, you know, according to what he had been saying and telling everybody, his car had been junk all week. And and they just hit on something, and maybe it was just the fact getting out in the sunshine and run. I mean, those guys were there from Thursday all the way until Sunday, and it wasn't until just before race time on Sunday that the sun came out. And that, of course, changes everything. It heats the track up and everything. You know, once they were able to really get that car dialed in, it was just hugging the bottom of the racetrack like crazy.
Yeah, like it was about lap 25, 26, 27, somewhere in there. He was at the rear of the field and drove all the way to the front.
Drove all the way up to the front. Again, it wasn't that big of a field of cars. I mean, he only had 20 or so to start, but and they eliminated a couple of them almost right away. But you know, the fact is, you know, Eddie Hoffman ran good. The Lang kid ran real good. The five car, Stump, another young fella, ran real good. That 13-year-old kid, Logan Ruffin, now I was telling everybody, I said, you got to watch out for him because I say, you know, he's 13 years old. He ain't afraid of a frickin' thing. When he ran last year, he ran the Winter Nationals at Orlando with Aaron's Pro Challenge car, and he hit everything out there but Rusty's pace truck. And, you know, he got himself in trouble early, and then he sort of did a little number on Patrick Scarpoli. But the kid kept his cool and did a good job running too. So, you know, he drove a good race. There were a lot of guys that had a lot of trouble. I hate to see Rob Hartelow. His car just wouldn't do anything all race long. You know, Wayne Morris was hoping for a better race. His car just wouldn't run on Sunday at all. But you know, Steve Smith ran a pretty decent race. The car wasn't all that fast, but he was good and steady. And you know, I hated for Georgie Crenshaw to get in that early wreck because it would have been interesting to see how he would have done.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
But, you know, it was all in all a fun week. And, you know, it was just, you know, the fun thing about it, and Jack, you know for yourself and the other guys who are there, it's, you know, it's like everybody's had the holidays off and everything, and now everybody's back at it again. And you see people, you know, some of them you haven't seen in a long time. I got a chance to chat with Dick Westfall. I hadn't seen Dick in 2 years, you know, since he retired from Speed World and basically retired from racing.
Sure.
He came to the track Sunday, had no idea there was even a race going on. He was actually going out just to move his truck that he drives up into a different position and got there and said, well, there's a race going on today. They must have gotten out last night.
That's cool.
He hadn't been to a race in 2 years.
Right.
Saw Barry Hayful. I hadn't seen Barry in so long. You know, Barry, you know, used to work with a lot of race teams down here in Florida. He now lives up in Georgia. He's been working, they told me, with Mike Garvey on his Hooters program, and he was down with Shane Sawyer, who I tell you what, pound for pound, he put on the best show in that super late model race to come in third.
And Dave, we're going to be talking to Shane here later on in this show around 8:30.
I tell you what, very, very impressive. Good to see him back and in the saddle again. He used to live down in the southeast part of the state. Now lives up in Georgia, and a lot of guys have migrated up to Georgia, and a lot of guys like Bobby Gill and whatnot have all moved up there. And it really gives them sort of a central location, especially the late model guys, you know, to get in the Carolinas and Tennessee and Alabama and places like that. So you really can't blame them instead of having to make drives from like South Florida or Tampa or wherever else to, you know, to get to where you're going. But, you know, it was just a lot of fun, you know, just sitting around just chatting with, you know, guys that used to run over at Auburndale and Orlando, and, you know, people have been retired for a while or people that still say they're retired, and just seeing people that you haven't seen in, you know, 2 or 3 months, and just a lot of fun, you know. It really wasn't bad at all, and, you know, we had to come back on Sunday, but what the heck, it was still...
That was a good time, and I appreciate you spending some time with us and giving us that your version, because we certainly wanted to hear it. I know you were standing down there in turn three quite a bit, in turn four, and saw a lot of the action and from that zone, and just wanted to touch base with you, man, and really appreciate it. Later on tonight, we're going to be talking, like you said, with Shane Sawyer, and we're also going to be talking with Travis Kittleson, and who's going to Hooters Pro Cup full-time. We're going to talk to Martin Pierce, who's the promoter over at Huntsville, and some other folks. So thanks a lot, Dave, and we'll talk to you again real soon, man.
Okay, it's going to be real busy over the next few weeks. Got a lot of stuff going. Gosh, I think they open at East Bay tomorrow night with the 60s, and we open actually practice a week from tomorrow out at Speed World for the first week of the Winter Nationals there, and we're just a little over a week from starting the World Series at New Smyrna and everywhere else for that matter. So we're going to be busy. So
going to get busy.
All right, Dave. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All righty.
All right, Dave. Take it easy, man.
All right, Rick, let's take a break and come back and start talking to some of these race car drivers and promoters and whatnot we got lined up.
Let's do it. We'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan.
Hooligan.
Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
What else says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it?
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy. We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Real Racing USA live. We're going to switch gears here. A little bit of sprint car action. Jack, who we got on the phone with us?
I think we do have one of the promoters and officials with the ASCS sprint cars, Larry Sams. Welcome to Real Racing USA Live, Larry.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
So you, you're down here in sunny Florida.
I left 19-degree Atlanta, I think it was, about 2 days ago.
It was 80 degrees
it was
today.
Nice and sunny.
Yeah, it was 80 degrees today, I believe.
That's wonderful. Everybody ought to have this. You guys are hogging it to yourselves down here.
Well, we were whining and complaining Friday night because it was in the 40s. So
it could have been worse, I'll guarantee you.
No doubt about it. You got a big show coming up at East Bay Raceway Park this week. Tell us a little bit about it, Larry.
Well, it's the kickoff for the 44 race event. American Sprint Car Series on tour, the national tour. Some of the biggest and best names in racing will be here for the weekend, trying for the 360 crown. This will be the kickoff for the rest of the year.
There you go. Gary Wright, your champion last year, right?
Right, and he'll be back again this year, defending his championship, not in a car that a lot of folks have seen him in before, but because he sold his own equipment and driving for other people now, so he'll be in the, I think it's a 01 car he's driving.
Well, that'll be different for him. Now, what's the schedule of events like for the ASCS this week?
Well, we'll have two features, one Thursday night, one Friday night, and those will lock some folks into the Saturday night's King of the 360s, but it won't lock many people in. The few that get in those two nights are the fortunate few. The rest of them are all going to have to work their way in come Saturday, just like those guys did earlier in the week. So everybody's trying to get in as quickly as they can, make sure they're in. They'll be racing heat races and feature races all three nights.
Now, there's no qualifying for the 360s, is there?
No, sir.
No, there's not. Now, tell me, how is the health of the 360 sprint car world?
Well, we see it growing every day. I'm the director for the Rebel region, the Georgia, Alabama, and Florida side of it, and also for the Carolina Tour, which is North and South Carolina and a little bit of Virginia. And keep getting more races and more racers each day, so we see it growing.
Yeah, that Rebel region really had some good races last year.
We think we had the best races anywhere in the country. We got some of these great Florida drivers down here who really put on a show for the folks. Everybody knows Kenny Adams, but there's some other guys down here that like Tyler Godwin and folks like that are just as exciting to watch. Matt Tiffany and T.J. Weingartner was our champion last year, and he put on some of the best races you've ever seen. He didn't win any of them last year, but he really put on some good shows for the folks.
Yeah, I saw a couple of in-car cameras from T.J.'s car, and some wild stuff there.
That was an exciting night over there at Green Valley. They asked me whose car to put that in and said they wanted somebody that would be exciting. And I said, well, just put it in any of them. They're all exciting. And they said, well, who's more exciting than anybody else? I said, well, you can go talk to the Weingartners. TJ puts on a good show for them. And he lived up to every bit of the billing we gave him.
Yeah, it seemed like he had a target on that car that night. They were all bouncing off of him.
They were. That's a big, wide racetrack up there, too. And when you bounce off folks up there, it's a high rate of speed. And they've widened it even wider, I understand, for this year, so, and banked it more.
Now, y'all are racing at some of the tracks that some of the other sprint car series don't hit, like in Mississippi and northern Florida and lower Alabama and stuff. How's that coming along for you?
Well, it's real good, Dak. A lot of these tracks can't afford the national tour, so they want the Rebel Tour or one of the regional tours to come in because we're more affordable for them. And if they can't make a profit, then we don't race anywhere, so. It works real good for us and for them. And it's good that sprint car fans can come see us at their local track and not have to drive a long ways to get to a racetrack.
Yeah, and, on top of besides the names of, like, the World of Outlaws and the 410 guys and stuff, on the track you really don't see a whole lot of difference in the racing because, I mean, it's all tight and really close racing out there.
As we've talked about with several of the folks lately, it's gotten to where that most all racing other than sprint car racing is a follow the leader type thing. And with sprint cars, they still pass. And people enjoy seeing that passing. And that's what racing is all about, passing somebody without having to run over him. You can run around him. Or her, I say him, and we're going to have a female racing with us this year.
Now tell us about this young lady.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about her yet. She's from the state of Washington, and she's going to fly back and forth and race with us in the Rebel region.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha Taylor. She's going to give it a shot.
I think we're going to have her on. I think we're going to be talking to her next Tuesday night on Real Racing USA Live, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's great. I'll have to listen to that, too.
That's the plan.
Yeah, we had Natalie Sather on a few weeks back, and she's really an up-and-coming one, too.
She is a racer. Let me tell you, I watched her at Knoxville, Iowa last year, and she can race. There's several ladies out there now that can get the job done when it comes to a sprint car. We all know that Erin Crocker won a World Outlaws event, but we're going to start seeing these young ladies in the ASCS winning championships and winning races, too. So,
So what kind of field are we expecting for East Bay?
I was at the track about lunchtime today, and there were probably 10 or 12 haulers already in there. I noticed that Joyce Saldana's souvenir trailer was out there, and I understand Joey's going to be driving one of Red Stauffer's cars. So we're going to see some names as well as the local guys and some of the unknowns. So we're going to have a good field of race cars from top to bottom.
Yeah, I think if it gets started out there at 6:30. Is that
yeah, I believe so.
About right. They've got a practice tomorrow evening,
uh-huh.
And we'll race Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. It'll be a full weekend of racing, and we're all ready for that. We've been on the starvation diet all winter of racing. The Chili Bowl is the only thing we get to see, so we're all ready for the guys to strap in and get going fast.
Now, from East Bay, where do y'all move on to?
We'll be at Loxley, Alabama, next Saturday night. It's a $3,000 to win race at Loxley for our Rebel region, and that's in conjunction with the Coastal region. We do a joint sanctioned race there at Loxley. And then from there, we jump up to Green Valley, Alabama, where that's in Glencoe, Alabama, which is just north of Talladega Short Track. That's the track where you saw the film of T.J. Weingartner.
Right, right, yeah.
So we've got races there. We've got races at Ocala. Now that Ocala's dirt instead of asphalt, we're going to race at Ocala.
When are you going to Ocala?
think you've got a date in April there, and one in November.
All right.
We're going to run there in Golden Isles in November. We'll run Ocala on Friday night and Golden Isles on Saturday night.
Oh, boy.
14th and 15th of November. So.
All right.
And we're at Oglethorpe. We're not that far away from the Floridian, even when we're away from the Floridian.
Yeah.
We're in South Georgia and Alabama, which is fairly close to you guys. We'll be back to Milton, Florida during the summer. I forget what the date is on it, but we'll be back to Milton, Florida again this year.
Well, and Larry, you know, anybody, if somebody listening to this has never been to East Bay, man, you got to go there because it is, at this time of year, it's a great place to go watch.
It's magic.
It is. It really is. And Volusia, all the dirt tracks in Florida like are pretty cool. But, you know, we're, I guess, a little partial to East Bay because we're close to it, you know. It's not too far from us. So it's a great place to go. It's a fun time.
Well, if you live within 100 miles of any of these racetracks, you're doing yourself a disservice not to go to them every time the doors are open.
Yeah.
These racetracks are putting on, for the buck, the most bang you'll ever get for a buck. You can go watch a movie for more money and not be near as excited when you leave the movie as you are when you go to a sprint car race or even the stock car race at these racetracks. All over the state, all over the area.
There you go.
Short tracks is where it's at. It's not the big tracks. It's these little tracks.
Yeah, and
that's where the action is, where you get to see all the names before they are names.
Yep, and all these guys are fresh and ready to race.
And a lot of times the names are coming back because they miss it too.
That's exactly right. They are. And it's like Tony Stewart buying into racetracks and the Blaneys buying into racetracks. Those guys, they understand that that's where they came from. That's where they're going to go back to.
Well, Larry, anything you want to add to this tonight?
I'd just like to see everybody that's listening to us right now show up at the racetrack this weekend. Come on out. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. Enjoy all the beautiful weather. But have a good time at the racetrack.
There you go.
The fun's there. It's up to you to be there to enjoy it.
That's tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Tomorrow's practice. You can go in the pits for $12. Thursday kicks it off with actual racing with the ASCS 360 sprints and the Florida mini sprints. And that's all the way through to Saturday to the king of the 360s, $10,000 to win.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right, Larry Sams with the ASCS. And you know, Jack,
it's the American Sprint Car Series. And you can go to ASCSRacing.com.
That's it.
Find out more. What's
lots of information. But, you know, this time of the year, it is. It's magical. You know, I mean, it's,
yeah.
It. You know, everybody's been off. Of course, we've gone. We've caught a few races here and there in between, you know, the Florida 400 and a couple races at Charlotte. And, of course, USA this past weekend. But this really kicks it off.
Yeah, it really kicks it off. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with we're going to be talking with Martin Pierce, who is the owner, promoter of the Speedway out in Huntsville, Alabama. He's been there a few years, and we're going to check in and see how it's gone since he took over and what he learned in the last couple of years. And we'll be right back. But, you know, speaking of those kind of guys who come back, Rick, when we go to break here, people are going to be able to listen to a little clip it from Kyle Busch from Friday night at Lakeland's Speed Fest.
Yeah, we did, and I think we burned all our stuff up coming up through there, but, you know, it's a lot of fun racing these guys. That's what it's all about, trying to have a good time out here and, you know, race all the guys. This was a North race. Tomorrow night we'll race with the South boys, but, you know, all in all, it was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it, and hopefully we can, you know, bring this thing and home in one more spot better tomorrow.
A lot of drama on pit road right after qualifying. Any concerns as you came to the line for this race?
No, we knew that this thing would be fine. You know, we've run this motor before. It's the same car we've run all the time. We tried bringing our new one out, but couldn't get it done in time. So I got to thank Richie Waters and all these guys that did an awesome job preparing this thing all day and being able to get this thing back in raceable conditions after we decided to make a motor change. So we're happy with that, and we learned some things there, definitely. And, you know, it's my first time down here in a super late model, and so, you know, Richie's as well, and we'll work on it tonight and try to come up with some ideas and brainstorm a little bit and make it better.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
All right, Real Racing USA Live. We're back from commercial break. Nice little interview there with Kyle Busch and Gene Crane on the front stretch there at USA International Speedway. And we're going to move up to Alabama.
Let's go to Alabama.
I was just reading a little bit about Martin Pierce's little racetrack up there called Huntsville Speedway. Martin, how you doing tonight, brother?
We're doing very well. Thank you.
So, Martin, tell us a little bit.
Rick, I got. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, man, but Martin just had a wonderful experience.
Oh, he did.
It was just a wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Tell us, Martin.
Well, we just got a call about 10 minutes ago. I have a new grandbaby. My wife flew out today. My daughter was about 2 weeks early, but we managed to catch a flight. And at 7:30 y'all's time, we had a little 7.5-pound baby girl.
Congratulations!
All right.
Thank you very much. It was
that's cool.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. Always you get a new entry into the family.
Yes, indeed.
So, Martin, how's it going now? This is what, your second year up there at Huntsville?
This will be the beginning of our third.
Third year.
Yes, sir.
So how is it going? Tell us how it's going.
Well, it's going well. It's a little slower than I anticipated. We've gotten our fan base has increased very well. We're averaging a little over 600. We need to go about another 150 or 200. Our car count has been real good on our bottom classes and our top classes. We've been struggling a little bit in the middle. In the mini stock, super stock, sportsman, we've been struggling a little bit. It appears that we've gotten over that hump for this year. As in a lot of the people, we need the back gate, but we keep our front gate at $10, so somewhere somebody has to pay. And we've been struggling a little bit at the back gate where we've had to take front gate and other things to pay purse. But it's gone a little slower than anticipated, but really nothing we weren't expecting.
So are you saying you raised the back gate this year?
No, it's
no, okay.
Not our back gate, as it's always been. We just need more people in the back gate.
I see.
What are you charging the back?
$25.
$25, yeah.
With $25 at the back gate, $10 at the front gate, $8 for seniors, and $5 for students.
Now, I know we talked with you on Real Racing USA not too long into your first year.
Yes, sir.
And so what are some of the things that maybe you surprised by about being a track owner, or some of the things that you've learned that maybe just you didn't anticipate?
Well, and I believe I touched base on this the first time, was the, I guess the biggest thing that surprised us was the complaining of the drivers, and that's pretty much been brought into check in the, I guess they were allowed to complain before, not that I stopped them from complaining, but the you know, we're going to do it this way, and that's the way it's going to be, and we run the best show we know how. And as I told y'all then, I didn't know how to run a racetrack. I just knew how not to. And we've been refining and getting it better. And we have one of the best facilities around. It is a small track, but it's very much like Citrus County was prior to them expanding it. It is a tight little racetrack. It has some awesome races. You know, we can put 15 cars out there and have just a tremendous show. We ended up the season with 22 late models on an October show, and it was a busy track. It was a very busy track. You cut New Smyrna in half, and that's what we had, and it was busy.
So it's basically a quarter mile, but a wide quarter mile.
Yes, sir. But it is a 12-degree banked quarter mile.
Wow.
It is a true quarter. We run in the racing groove in a street car, you'll do 1.1 miles in four laps. So it is a true quarter in the racing groove.
So it's a true Alabama bull ring.
You betcha.
Now, I see you got, what, nine classes that run there. What do you run on a Saturday night? How many classes do you run?
Well, actually, we run Friday night.
Friday night, I'm sorry.
We run 5 to 6. We rotate or modified in a late model. And actually, this year, we're cutting back on our late model a little bit. We're going to run 8 races in our late models this year, where last year we ran 12. We don't have the luxury of Florida with the weather. That is something I did learn. We'll start off running Saturday afternoons in mid-March. We'll go to Friday night about mid-April. And by mid-September, you're through. Between football in Alabama and weather, we're within a half a mile of the Tennessee River, and it gets cool, and once you're 50 degrees, you can forget it. People aren't going to come.
Exactly. Now, what kind of competition do you have in that area as far as racetracks?
Anything we have is dirt tracks. Nashville's the closest, which doesn't run anything close to what we run show-wise. Nashville's an hour and a half. Birmingham, approximately an hour and a half. Birmingham's going to run 8 to 10 shows. They just run special events only. There's asphalt-wise, on a weekly racetrack, you have to go all the way down to Op to find anything that's in the same area that we are. There's a couple smaller bull rings than we have that run a weekly, Highland Rim and Say Reeve, but both of them about an hour and a half away.
Let me ask you this. You said you got all the dirt tracks there now. Are the ones close to you, like where, you know, in your neck of the woods, so to speak, do they have the same attendance? How does the attendance, dirt versus asphalt, in that part of Alabama?
I don't think our attendance is bad. We spend a lot of time on weekends, my wife and I, going to different tracks to see how people operate them.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's a good idea, what's a bad idea. I don't think their attendance is really much better than ours, if any. The problem is I can seat about 4,000 and they seat about 800, and it looks like their stands have more in.
Yeah, gotcha.
The Talladega short track is about an hour and 45 minutes, which would be an exception to that. Talladega short track probably, and I'm speaking out of turn here, I don't know, but the times I've been, they have 1,200 to 1,500 plus.
Well, you hear about them a lot. I know that as far as dirt tracks go in that neck of the woods.
Yes, sir.
You hear about them a lot. You hear about a lot about that track.
They do it. They do a tremendous job. We went to the Ice Bowl, and I don't want to get off track here, but we went to the Ice Bowl, and they had 370 cars. And that's a pretty good show.
You think?
That's a pretty good show.
Now, you said a little quarter mile, and you've got seating for 4,000. Does your stands go all the way around the track?
No, we're
just tall
concrete stands, 45 rows up.
Wow, okay, wow. Yeah.
On we have aluminum seating with backs to better part of half of those.
Now, do you bring in what some of our friends call the dog and pony shows?
Not. Are you talking about the demolition?
Yeah, crash-o-ramas and crazy boat racing and dragging trailers and all that stuff.
Our best crowds are when you tear stuff up. We do a race and a wreck a night about three times a year.
Yeah.
And those are by far our best crowds. And we have been talking with Mr. Nerone about doing a crash-o-rama in late May, and probably will do so. We're pretty close to doing that.
He'll like that, Martin, that you called him Mr.
We've raced with him or for him for a long time.
I know that.
We might be a peer now, but we weren't then.
Yeah. Well.
How's Marty doing?
He's doing well. Actually, that's what makes it a little interesting. His wife is expecting in about 3 weeks. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're between my daughter and daughter-in-law, they're trying to push us a little bit.
Well,
yeah.
You know that tear 'em up stuff. Now, Bowman Gray Stadium up there in North Carolina, right?
Uh-huh.
And we have one of the guys that works with us on Real Racing USA in Karnak. He's up there in that area, and he covers a lot of that stuff for us. And he goes to Bowman Gray not every week that they're open, but most weeks they're open. He's over there, especially covering the modifieds and this and that.
Uh-huh.
He recently had a chance to talk with the man who's the main promoter at that racetrack. And, of course, it's a stadium there, inside the it's a football stadium that's only open part of the year, but they get enormous crowds, Like, if they have 8,000 people, that's maybe a so-so night,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he asked him, because Skip Wall is our guy's name, and he was under the impression that the reason there's so many people there and the fans are so rabid and everything is because they kind of, have a regular night of racing is a teared-up night, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
it's a little quarter mile.
Yeah.
And he asked the owner about that, and the owner absolutely agreed that if they wasn't kind of that WWF mentality going on, they don't think they'd have that many people in the grandstands.
Well, you're absolutely correct. Occasionally tempers flare, and unfortunately from the owner's standpoint, I have to curb that. From the promoter's standpoint, all right, y'all fight on the back stretch, you're kicked out of here. You fight on the front stretch, and you're free next week. But I can't do that.
Right.
I mean, we would love to, but we can't do that. But you are correct. We
answer me this, Marty. Why can't you do it?
Liabilities.
Make them keep their helmets on.
Well, if they left the helmets on, we might do that. But the liabilities aren't always in our favor. There's so many attorneys out there. I just do not meet them all.
Right. The racing has changed so much, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
That's probably a good idea. And speaking of liabilities, one of the issues in Florida that has come up, and I know it's in other states as well, is the insurance. They came out with FastCar, came out with a deal about a month and a half ago or something, a couple of months ago, that you had to be 14. Is that what it was, Rick?
14.
You had to be 14, and then there's these waivers and things. In other words, they're telling us, and a couple of tracks have raised their back gates to 30.
Uh-huh.
To accommodate the increased cost from the insurance or whatever. Is any of that impacting you?
No, sir, it has not. We're on our third year, knock on wood, and we have not had any claims. And ours is 13 years old in stock. And stock is inclusive of short of your modifieds and your late models. And they have to be 16 to be insured, well, with our insurance, to be covered. In late models, you have to be 16, and late models are modified. I personally, from racing and from promoter, I don't agree with that rule. You have plenty of kids that are 13 or 14, and I know people say they shouldn't be driving. My argument is 60 years ago, they would have been pushing Grandpa's plow and or running tractor work. Y'all are familiar with Mike Good. He was cutting hay in Ohio at 8 years old.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's no different.
Yep.
There's – I don't want to get on a soapbox here. The difference is
– Oh, go ahead.
The difference is that people enforcing rules that aren't there. The fact that John Smith's dad has money for him to go racing, if he is a racer and a good one, I don't care if he's 14 years old. if he shouldn't be in there, well, then it's our job, the promoter or whomever, that he doesn't run with those guys.
Yeah, if he's not capable
exactly.
of doing it, then you guys decide, okay.
That's correct, but yeah, okay. 14-year-old's already been racing 6 years.
Yeah.
And, I'm trying to stay off the soapbox, but my argument is that the kid would have been working in a tire shop, and I'll use a perfect example. We have a kid, 15-year-old, old Chase Oliver, does a tremendous job. I think he's turned 16 now, but he's working in his dad's garage probably since he was 10 or 12. How is that any different? We have him protected. Working in the garage, there's probably 10 times more things that could hurt him.
Right, yep.
And I just don't agree with that, but sure as the world, somebody will send a copy of this to the insurance guy and they'll change my mind.
And you do have some, you know, 14, 15-year-old out there that got 6-8 years of racing under their belt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We went to one of the early speed fests with Marty. He was 16 running late models there, which I don't know what they're doing now, whether it's 16 or 18, but we didn't ever have any issues. He turned 17, I think, 2 months later, a month later, but that was back with the old Sarah series when they were running that, but I disagree with that one, but I won't. I say that's I don't want anybody sending anything to my insurance agent.
Martin, speaking of the Sarah series, do you have any touring series that come in there?
Southern All-Star, Ben Atkinson with Southern All-Star is restarting he's running a short track asphalt series, and yes, we do. He is going to be running 5 races with us, and he is looking at running the bull rings type deals with a pro or down there in the limited late model, crate type late models. But he's looking at bringing that back. He's I don't know what his deal is, where he'd sold some, waited some time, or what have you. But the Southern All-Stars is coming back. That will be the only one that we run. The touring series are very expensive, and us being a Friday night show, we typically depend on our locals.
Hmm. That makes sense.
Well, why the Friday night show? Why not Saturday night?
I wish I could answer that. We went to Saturday night our first year, and on several occasions, and we would drop about 250 in the stands. We'd
wow.
lose people in the pits, but we'd lose them in the stands. The dollars were about the same, but I was really trying to build up the fan base, and we would pick up some cars that couldn't make it to us on Friday nights, but we would lose a bunch in the stands.
Just local customs, I think, is a lot of this, because I've seen the same thing, Rick. We've seen it down here. People try to switch back and forth.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's a little bit of local custom, I guess. If you're going to make a change, it's going to take a while.
I've yet to see a Friday night race work at DeSoto.
Yeah.
I've yet to see one.
No, you're right. You're right. And the Huntsville, when it was the old series, way back when one of Richard Petty's wins were at Huntsville Speedway. Well, that was when they ran Thursday night one place, Friday night another, and Saturday night another. Huntsville was always during the week. And the other people other than me have tried Friday night, and it just doesn't work. Occasionally Sunday does. Sunday actually does much better than Saturday. Sunday afternoon shows do pretty well.
It's a good breakup once in a while, I think.
Not, yes, sir.
Yeah, not very often. They've had occasionally had some good success at Charlotte County Speedway doing that.
Yep. We're actually running a late model. One of the Southern All-Star races are actually Easter weekend. That's been done once before, and it was extremely successful.
Now, when you run your late models, you probably run 25 or 30-lap features, I'm assuming. And then do you have big races, like 100-lap or more during the year?
Yes, actually, everything we run this year will be 100 or better. Mm-hmm. Our typical series was 50 laps because we are a small track.
Right.
And we were going to go to 75 this year, but what we're actually doing with our late models is our track for all our late model races this year will be leased and run by others. I have a fellow that owned the track back in the 80s. They were going to do 3 shows, 150 laps, and Ben is the Southern All-Stars are running 100 laps. And essentially, we at Huntsville Speedway will not run any late model shows this year.
Oh, I got you. So it'll all be lease deals. So even like running the 25 or 30 lap features, like say like they used to do, that's just not feasible now.
It wasn't with the dollar spent on those cars. it's nothing I have attempted. I just, you know, when you have that kind of high dollar car, we haven't gone there. We've already, I took it from DeSoto. I mean, we did 50 lappers, $1,000 to win is what we did. But we're a quarter mile track. You get 25, 30, it's going to be a little rough.
Now, is Ben's deal with the Southern All Stars? Are they? They're running them big super late models. I mean, when they were in action before, I think they had the fastest cars, most horsepowered late models in the country.
He is, but because the crates are so big, Ben sees that, and we're not going to run four barrels with them. I mean, you're going to run crates, and the built engines will be running two barrels.
Well, he definitely had one of the best deals going when he had it going, and I mean. It's good to hear he's doing that and coming back.
We're excited to be part of him bringing it back, and I'm also excited to see if it works on somebody else's nickel than mine.
Right.
Yeah.
So how's your modified class doing?
Superb. Our modified class is very simple. We do spoiler height. We have a penalty if they run aluminum shocks, and other than that, 8-inch tire, and with our little track, good luck. We... Actually, the big horsepower cars don't fare as well. We run anywhere from 19 last year. I think our worst count was 13. And again, you know, you can't think of, well, even Bradenton, you can't think of that. We're smaller than that. And you put 13 out there, and it's a good show. You put 19 out there, and you wait for four of them to drop out, and you have a good show.
Yeah, there you go. So basically, it's an open motor rule then.
Yeah, absolutely. We do not police it. We scale them. We check shocks. We check rims and check spoiler height, and away you go.
What is the most popular from your fans' perspective out of all your racing? What do you think? What gets the fans going the most?
Well, we rotated, alternated, modifieds and late models, and you probably had 100, 150 people that followed each class, but the numbers were the same. I like the modifieds because of our rule. You can actually feel the ground shake when they go by. I don't. It would be one of those two. But it's the same numbers with different people. And I don't increase the numbers from one class to the other. I just change 100 to 150 people.
Yeah, that's one thing. I swear I can't understand for the life of me. You know, I started going to stock car races in Florida in the mid 90s at DeSoto, and when the open wheel modifieds would roll out onto the track, something changed in the air. You know, it was like there was this excitement that the other classes just didn't bring, and they're not all that expensive, the cars. And you know, it's so exciting when, like you said, you hear the ground rumble. You know, and it doesn't cost you what the sprints cost you.
No, it doesn't. And we have. I mean, we have a hardcore bunch of probably 75, 100 people that won't miss one. And they could care less about the late models, and I'm sure we have the same thing with the late models. But it's much easier from the track owner standpoint. A promoter is, how do you DQ one? You check the spoiler height. I mean, it's not hard for somebody to get the spoiler height right. And we run them at 50 laps. Occasionally, we'll throw in a 75, and... any more than that, they start slipping and sliding too much. We've run 100. We just don't try to. They pretty much have burned up the tires by then.
What kind of tires you running, Martin?
We run the Hoosier F75, which is pretty much what they run at Brady.
Right. Yeah, this.
And we run the 2045 on late miles Hoosier.
Now,
again, it's very similar to what they run down there.
What class brings your biggest car count?
You can pretty much flip a coin between the modifieds and the late models.
Yeah,
and
really?
There really is not a difference. Now, the Southern All-Stars may change that.
Yeah.
On a regular show, there's not a difference.
Yeah.
On a special show, I would expect late models too, but I get a better car count with modifieds.
Well, it sounds like you're still having fun and you got a lot of enthusiasm for what you're doing there.
Well, we've done a couple other things. Not that it's going to matter to folks down there, but we've added a 1/6 mile dirt go-kart track, which we run on Saturdays. We put in a mud bog, which is always fun. I mean, nobody cares about anything.
It's like Alabama.
They can drink their beer and away they go. And we've uh, we we've got our AMA certification. We're going to run flat track motorcycles and quads on our go-kart track once a month. So
there you
that'll go. Be interesting.
That's what East Bay's been doing, a little bit of that, a little bit of that stuff with the AMA, and I think that's a good one, man.
It's the quads and the AMA is really where stock cars, and I'm not saying they're not there, but it's where stock cars were in the 80s and 90s, where it's a little easier. I expect that to grow very rapidly, but I don't expect asphalt racing to go anywhere. We've built the classes since we've been in here, and I expect them to continue to do so.
Sounds good. Martin, anything you want to add?
No. Tickled to death to have a grandbaby, a new granddaughter, and right. Enough to come down there and see y'all, but unfortunately Marty's going to have his own, so we can't come race.
Oh, there you go.
We would like to, but it doesn't work out that way.
All right, well, we wish you the best this season, and we'll be talking again. We always keep an eye out for an ear out for what you guys are doing up there, so we'll be back in touch, Martin. And
congratulations on them grandbabies.
Absolutely.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Martin Pierce. And now, you know, he sounds like he's having fun.
Absolutely.
Sounds like fun up there. And your biggest classes are your late models and your open wheel models. I'm looking at some pictures up there, and the grandstands, this track was built for a lot of people.
Yeah. Sounds kind of like Sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah. Very similar.
Speedway with the tons of grandstands.
Tons of grandstands.
So we're going to get out of here for a few minutes. We're going to come back in the second hour. We're going to be talking with Travis Kittleson all about his upcoming adventure full time on the Hooters Pro Cup Tour. Michelle Theriault, who is an ex-Hooters Pro Cup racer, who's been racing in the Busch East and a little bit of ARCA and this and that, and doing some different things. We'll see what she's up to this year. And then Shane Sawyer, who come back out of the nowhere and, man, appeared with a vengeance at...
it's good to see Shane again.
Yeah, USA International. So we'll be right back.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year, you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score. With an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
All right, we're back here at Real Racing USA Live, and on the line with us right now, man from formerly of Merritt Island, landed him a Hooters Pro Cup ride, Travis Kittleson. Travis, how you doing tonight, brother?
Not too bad, guys. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
No problem, man. So, moving up to the Pro Cups, huh?
Yeah. I've been talking with the Craigs now for a while, and got to know them a little bit. They've helped us out in our, you know, super late model stuff, let us borrow some things and whatnot. And there's been some discussion about possibly doing some stuff, and so I really tried to pursue it a little bit more. And here we are. We closed the deal, and we're going to run a full season and try to go after that championship.
All right. Now, what have you been doing for the last few years? What kind of racing? Where have you been racing at?
I've been really trying to see if I can't break into the NASCAR scene. I 2006, I ran a lot of late model stuff. I did the Speedfest, Speed Week, some random races in between, some past South Series races, couple truck races. 2007, we really focused on trying to get a great opportunity in, you know, any of the NASCAR races. We got two races with Morgan Dollar, and one race with Joe Gibbs, and I think one race with Bobby Dotter. So we got a few races in last year, but none of them turned out the way they needed to be. You know, some due to bad luck, some due to the fact, I think, that only running four races a year, you can only stay so sharp when you're running against people that are running week in and week out. And unfortunately, that's kind of what happened. So this year, I'm just really excited to put this deal together with JCR3 and Bob Steele Chevrolet and go out there and run something full-time week in and week out in the Hooters Pro Cup Series.
Now, Travis, you know, you got the full schedule for the Hooters Pro Cup, but what's it going to be like to run at the Rock?
Oh, man, I tell you what's really ironic about that, and when they tell me I was going to run at the Rock, it just made me smile because I had gone to the Buck Baker driving school, I think it was probably 98 or 99, with my uncle. And I just thought that was really funny how it just comes full circle like that. And here I am, I'll be running back at the Rock. Even though, you know, it's been shut down for so long, you just never stopped at that opportunity to come again.
Yeah, we had Andy Hillenburg on, and he was really excited. It was right when he first got the track, and he was really excited and talking about the bringing ARCA and Hooters, and lo and behold, there they are.
Yeah, and I think it's going to put on a whale of a show, too. You know, when you get to places like that, it's just big enough that I don't think it's going to separate the entire field. It's just going to make it that much more competitive.
So you're going to run the Hooters South, I'm assuming, in, what is that, a 10-race thing, and then the five championship races at the end?
Yeah, I believe now it's going to be 8 races,
okay,
and 4 championship races.
I gotcha.
But there's we're hoping to maybe get a couple extra races in. They also have bought two ARCA cars, so there's an opportunity there where we might be able to run an ARCA race or two if we can find the funding and put some stuff together. And I'm sure it's going to depend on how well we're doing in the Hooters Pro Cup, make sure that, you know, we're not going to rob any attention from the Hooters deal, because, like I said, I think with their equipment and everything over there at JCR3, there's a good chance I think we can contend for the championship.
So how tough is it running in the Craftsman trucks, like actually getting out there and racing with them guys? How tough is that? I mean, put this in, give us some perspective on that.
You know, it's really different. You know, it's kind of the same feeling I had when I ran my first ASA race. You know, when you step into the different everything, the cameras around, the mass amounts of people, the incredible haulers, the equipment, everything's just different. It's a little intimidating just looking around, and let alone, you know, racing these guys, like I said, that they're racing week in and week out, let alone testing. So they're sharp, and it's when you go out there, whether you're sharp or not, it's a little intimidating at first. I know when I ran some truck races in 06, and I had been running, you know, a 15-20 race late model schedule, it was a little bit easier to get back out there and get up on the wheel and get up, go after these guys versus when you haven't been racing very long. And, I mean, and if your car ain't handling, especially, it's, you know, you got people buzzing by you, it's nerve-wracking. And you know, you just got to brush it off and remember, you know, it's no different than any other vehicle you've really driven before.
Now, how did you land that one race with the Joe Gibbs car?
I was on a Chevrolet test they had back in 2005, and ever since then I've kept contact with the people at Joe Gibbs, and you know, just hoping for that one day an opportunity might present itself. And you know, lo and behold, there is one race where they thought that if we could bring the funding, a marketing partner in, you know, there might be an option, availability there. And, you know, I thought, no way, you know. And the guy said, well, just keep this in mind, you know, we just don't let anybody drive our cars. So this is an opportunity that you need to jump on. And so we did. And, you know, it was, it didn't turn out the way we wanted to be. It was 17th. It was my best finish in the Busch Series, but you finish 17th in a car that's contending for the wins week in and week out. It's a little disappointing. It's a lot disappointing for me because what I knew the potential of that weekend could have been for, you know, a couple minor mistakes on a couple people's parts. You know, I think part of it was my fault and stuff like that, but that was probably one of the biggest highlights of my racing career, was running that deal and being around the camaraderie of that team who, you know, had been so stellar all year long, just contending for wins every week. They were in contention to win a race.
Where did you race?
Gateway.
Oh, okay.
It was last summer, July, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, it's kind of tough, man. You got one chance, and you know, there's so many things that can go wrong. I mean, not even, it doesn't even have to be, like you said, it, you know, some of it was your fault too. When you go out there to do that, what I was getting at was that there's more chances of things going. There's so many things that can go wrong. I mean, you could go into a pit stop. You could be, you know that from all the racing you've done. You could be on top of the game, man. Go into a pit stop, have a bad pit stop, and the game be over.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's pretty much what put us in a position to have what happened. The, you know, we were trying to stay out under green. We had a long green flag run. I think it was like a 60-lap green flag run. And really tricky pit road. Thought for sure somebody was going to, you know, have an accident or, you know, overdrive it getting into the pit and hear a caution come out. Well, it never happened, and we were getting pretty short on fuel. So we had to come in pit, and we lost a lap under green. But before that, we were plenty competitive. We never would have lost a lap, lack of performance on my part or the car's part. Like, the car was running great times. And that's just how it is. Like, it's just, you know, one bad call, one bad move, and things like that happen. And like my dad always told me, like, if you ever go gambling, you can't ever gamble. You can't go to the table with scared money.
Right.
It never works out.
That's right.
That's more or less what I did.
Yeah. Now, you race, how many races did you run with Bobby Dotter?
I think I ran one with him last year at Atlanta, mm-hmm. and three with him the year before, Bristol, Vegas, and Nashville.
Yeah. We talked with Bobby Dotter not too long ago on our O'Reilly ASA Fastlane show, and I'd never had the opportunity to speak with him before, but we talked at length and in depth about the truck series and how tough it is. He seemed like a pretty up and up guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. You know, there's a lot of people I've gotten to meet and talk to in this business, and I'd have to say by far he's probably one of the most honest people in this business. Straightforward, tells you the truth. If there's, you know, anything he can do to help, he will help. And he helped me out a lot, gave me a few opportunities, gave me my best trick finishing a truck, 16th at Nashville. It was actually my first race. And we had, two good runs going that year at Bristol and Vegas, and, you know, got a flat tire under green at Bristol, and you know how that is, a half-mile track at 14 seconds a lap.
That's done.
Yeah, your day's done.
Yeah, but Bobby made it very clear in the interviews. I mean, he didn't hold too much back. I mean, like you said, he tells it straight as it is, and without, you know, he wasn't whining or complaining. He was just telling it how it is. It's about the money. You got to bring the sponsorship, and you got to put that marketing package together in order to win races, without any question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What it's come down to is who's really putting got the most money to put into it.
So now you're getting ready. You're gonna have to go do some battle with people like Bobby Gill.
Mm-hmm.
It should be fun.
Yeah, Bobby Gill, Mike Garvey. A lot of tough races, a lot of contenders. I'm sure Clay Rogers will make it to a few races, if not all of them.
Yeah. You know Clay?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I know Clay. I know Bobby. I know Mike. I got to meet a lot of them. Mark Verfaller I met a couple times. But it's definitely not going to be a cakewalk, but I really think that there's a good chance that we can be a contender this year. And I'm just pumped. You know, I've been at the shop working with the guys, and their equipment's really nice. I think there's a great opportunity here, and I just really hope that we can put it together and capitalize on it.
What number did you get?
It'll be 54. Okay. They've always had 54 throughout the years. I was really hoping they'd kind of let me get the 88 or the 50. Yeah, not so much.
Do you miss the late models, Travis?
I miss them like crazy. You know, last year we sold a lot of stuff to try to make those races happen. And that's the one thing I regret is getting rid of my late model. I miss going down to Lakeland and New Smyrna and Orlando. I haven't been to Orlando in about 4 years. And I mean, it's the late models are just so much fun.
We miss you, too, and seeing you at those races. As a matter
no
of fact,
doubt.
People are all the time asking about you, too. And, it is. We miss you, too, man.
We can tell because, we had Kyle Busch down here for the Lakeland race this past weekend, and you could tell he was just here to have fun, and he was having a ton of fun with that late model.
Yeah. I mean, there's just something different about them. You know, you can really hustle them. The horsepower-to-weight ratio is equivalent to that of a cup car. It's just, I can't tell you how much fun they are. And racing with people that are out, you know, there's a few people that are out there just to have fun. And there's a couple people like Wayne Anderson, Dick Anderson, that make a living at it. So, I mean, between the two of that, you get some really good racing put on. You get people that don't care whether they wreck it and people that want to win to put food on the table.
Well, in most cases, you don't have the pressure that you have, I'm sure, that you experience when you move up the ladder a bit.
Exactly.
So you think you'll ever get back in one?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. If if the opportunity presents itself after after this year, maybe the year after, it would have to take a good opportunity to be able to build one, because as we know, they're pretty expensive. But to replace that one we had, and with Bob Steele partnering with JCR3, it's where most of our funds is going. So I would say without a doubt there will be another day where I have a late model. I love them. I miss them. And, just being down there and close to home, the family gets to come and go to the races, hang out in the pits. And like you said, there's no pressure. It's just fun. You know, there's family, you know, friends and family gather around in the pit area, and no big deal. It's not like the cup races. You really can't do that. It's too crowded and stuff like that.
Talk a little bit about your sponsor, Bob Steele. Now, they have been with you for a long, long time.
Yeah, you know, I can't even put into words how much I appreciate what Kevin Steele, Bob Steele, the Steele family have done for me. You know, they came aboard in like 2000, just actually it was late 99, right before our very first win at Orlando Speed World. And, you know, they've been with us ever since. They've given us free reins on the designs of the cars, on what we want to run. They give us no pressure. They enjoy it. You know, Kevin Steele, he likes to fly out to the races, especially, you know, when we get the gateway race with Joe Gibbs and stuff. And I hope he gets to fly out to a lot this year with Hooters, but they're just, it's a family-oriented deal. I've been around, my dad's worked there for about 26 years, 25 or 26 years now, and it's just a great place to be. You know, whether you're buying a car or working there, it's a happy home. And, you know, I grew up at the dealership. I remember, you know, I was driving cars around the dealership at 9 years old. I just recently told Kevin that. I don't know if I was too happy to hear that. But, that's where I spent my weekend. You know, I was at the dealership washing cars for $5 a pop, and I'll never forget Kevin Steele. I mean, he's been helping me ever since I think I was 13. He gave me a job at the dealership. And when somebody would buy a car, I was the person that washed it, scraped the stickers off, and vacuumed it out, you know, and got it ready for when they, after they got done buying it, you know, and drove it off. And he said, I'll give you this job. I'll pay $5 a car only if you deposit half your check in the bank across the street. And when I'd get my check, he'd walk with me across the street and make me deposit half that check. And, I mean, he's been an influence in my life for a long time. And, you know, they're just a down-to-earth family. I mean, they help out the Finneys. The Finneys have known them for a while. And, I mean, it just shows what kind of people they are.
Well, your name is inextricably linked with theirs. I mean, it's like they're the same. When you think of Travis Kittleson, you think of Bob Steele.
Bob Steele Chevrolet.
I mean, it's just part of it.
Well, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And I really hope that we can continue this. You know, I can't expect them to do it forever, but, you know, even if there's any way that I can help them thereafter, I would, you know, if I was on a team, I would try to put a little place in the quarter panel or something for them. But I hope we can continue this relationship for, you know, as long as they can stand it.
Have you done any testing? That's very good, man, and I know you will. Have you done any testing with the Hooters cars yet?
Not yet. We're looking at the middle of February. We're going to test. We got one car they're finishing, and they got the other two to the paint booth, and we should be good to go. So I would say probably sometime after the 15th.
Yeah, and then your first race will be?
Lakeland, March 15th.
Yeah, you know how to get around there.
Homecoming event.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm really excited about. You know, I told them I'm really working on them to try to get some of the old school colors that we had, the black and silver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's more recognizable for, you know, any of the fans we have down there. And so that'd be great, you know, to get Bob Steele all over the car and the normal colors, and go down to Lakeland and put on a show, and hopefully bring home the hardware.
Well, I'll tell you, in years past, you know, it has been a homecoming for some people. I remember when Buggy Pletcher and I think it was Pletcher and Derek Kelly,
right?
Derek Kelly and him of course, Kelly, every time they come to Lakeland, he had half the fans in the stands, I think, were cheering for him. But those two had a fight to the finish, and they had to. It was decided like a photograph. I mean, there was a bumper, literally a bumper was how much decided the race. And you know, of course, everybody in the grandstands was going crazy for the two Florida guys. And
yeah.
So I'm sure you'll have a crowd full of people cheering for you, man.
I hope so. I mean, I'd love to put on a show like that for them.
Well, Travis, in wrapping this up, you got anybody else you want to thank?
I'd really like to thank my family, my dad for backing me up, and everybody. I miss them and I love them, and I can't wait to get down there March 15th.
All right.
We'll be looking forward to it for sure.
Thanks for spending some time with us, Travis. Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it. Anytime, guys.
All right.
All right. Always good to talk to Travis Kittleson, man. Class act.
Absolutely.
I mean, class act. I've interviewed him at Bradenton, and I've all over the state, you know, watched him race. And, I mean, this kid, he is one tough race car driver.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the good guys. We hope he we know he'll do well in the Pro Cup.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, whoever finally lands him on a permanent ride is getting something.
So we'll be back here in a few minutes with either Michelle Theriault or Shane Sawyer. One of the two of them will be on center stage.
All right.
Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year, you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
For the niches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score. With an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Real Racing USA live. And you know what? I was really pleased that David Strimme knew how to pronounce my name.
Say what? You broke up there. What was that?
I said I was really pleased that David Strimme knew how to pronounce my last name.
Well, that was because Bill Green was arranging for David Strimme to do that driver drop, you know that Bill explained it to him in great detail.
No doubt. No doubt.
But meanwhile, we just talked to Travis Kittleson, who's getting ready to go to the Pro Cup, and now we're going to talk to Michelle Theriault, who used to race in the Pro Cup, and she's raced in the Busch East and some ARCA races, and welcome back to Real Racing USA Live, Michelle.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hey, it's 80 degrees. We're doing fine. Anytime it's 80 degrees in February, hey.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm jealous.
So where are you at? Are you in North Carolina these days?
Yes, I'm still in North Carolina.
So what's in store for 2008? Where are we going this year?
Well, unfortunately, we're looking for funding right now. We're talking with a few teams, and we're intending on running some ARCA races with a partial truck schedule. So we're just trying to align ourselves with the right partners so we can go ahead and look for a full season this year with continuing into the truck series next year.
Well, I'm amazed that somebody hasn't come wrote you a check yet.
I wish it was that easy.
I'm absolutely floored. So Now, last year you ran some ARCA races, I believe, and you also were doing some Busch East?
Yeah, that's correct. We ran 7 ARCA races last year, and we ran the complete Busch East season last year, including Irwindale Speedway for the showdown.
So tell us about racing in the Busch East, that whole deal. Give us some background on that and, you know, put it into perspective for us.
Well, the Busch East series, it started off kind of fresh last year with the spec engines and composite bodies, and it turned out to be a great series. We pretty much had 40 to 60 cars show up to every race, so it was pretty much full field everywhere we went. And, in fact, it was mostly short track races. Our largest event was at Loudoun, New Hampshire, the mile track. And then we actually got to run a road course, too, at Lime Rock. So that was a great experience because that was my first road course in a stock car. And it just turned out to be a great series. We ended up 13th in the points. We had a few top 10s. And actually, I was the highest finishing female ever in the series last year with a finish in 7th place at Greenville Pickens Speedway.
Well, that's great. Who were some of the top dogs running in that thing up in the points championship chase?
Well, you know, you had your few regulars who had been in the Busch East series for years, such as Mike Olson, Sean Casey's a young kid, but he's been in there for probably 3 years.
Yeah.
Of course, Joey Logano was up there. Really, it was the teams that came from the backing of the Busch and Cup team. There was, you know, Hendrick was involved, Gibbs was involved, DEI involved. So you had a lot of good equipment that you were up against each week.
Yeah, now you raced on the Pro Cup for a number of years under different sponsorship, including the big deal with Glock. And Glock was your sponsor last year, right, with the Busch East?
Yes, they sponsored me in my last year in Hooters and then my first year in ARCA and Busch East. So it was great to get – I kind of had the best of both worlds last year because we still had the short track experience coming from the Hooters Pro Cup Series, but yet I was able to get on to Kentucky, Chicago. We even got to test at, at Daytona. So I got a lot of big track experience as well, which is ultimately what you need to keep on moving up.
Is it when you go from the Busch East to ARCA, how big's the jump?
You know, car-wise, it's not much of a jump at all. And, in fact, the bigger the track, to me, the easier it was to adapt. If you have a good car in these big tracks, you really just have to, find the right line, and you're pretty much good to go. It's still a lot of work, but the races were actually, as far as length, they weren't much longer than the Busch East Series. In fact, Hooters Pro Cup had longer races than we did all year in the two series combined.
What was it like adapting to the road course?
I'll tell you what, I was really nervous going to the road course for the simple fact that I've never driven on a road course other than, in go-karts and whatnot. So I was really, I was excited to see what would happen, to say the least. And I went to the Skip Barber Racing School a few days before the event. Granted, those were open-wheel cars, but I just wanted to get a feel for the line and how the track felt. And I think that really helped because I had a good idea going into practice what the line was. And we adapted very well. We ended up 18th, I believe, out of 55 cars. So overall, it was a really good night.
Well, that's not bad at all, 18th out of 55 cars.
No.
No, we're real happy.
Yeah, that's cool. So, Michelle, let me ask you something. Now, you do the car thing. You go to races when you're racing. What do you do when you're not racing? What do you do?
Well, it's funny. You know, last year I didn't have time to do anything. I had hardly time to wash my clothes to pack to the next event. So I kept really busy last year. But now, you know, it's really just working out. And now I'm spending most of my time just talking with different companies and trying to, like I said, align myself with the right company that's looking to do a few-year deal with us. So marketing takes a lot of your time, especially when you've got no money to work with. You've got to put all your effort into it.
Yeah. And you're out there making the phone calls yourself and making the interviews and setting stuff up?
Absolutely. My whole life, we never really had the money to pay for anyone to help us. And I have a few close friends that work in the marketing business, and they've been able to offer some of their support. But really, since I was 12 years old, it was up to me to find the money because my dad never had it. So I've just, through the years, I've met a lot of people and have learned, and I've always done it myself.
And how would you say the competition is compare for us the competition? It's pretty equal, isn't it, between Hooters and Busch East? I mean, those two are kind of on the same plane.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? Even after running in the Hooters Pro Cup, Busch East, and ARCA, really, Hooters was so competitive. I mean, looking back at the races and the drivers you're competing against.
Right.
Hooters, I've got to give them credit. They've always put on a really good show. And the 250-lap races really teach you how to race. Those long runs really teach you how to conserve what you have and you know, stay in it for the long run.
Yeah. So besides the arranging the sponsorship, I mean, where is the status? I mean, I hate to ask this question, but people ask these questions all the time. Where's the deal with women in racing these days? Has it changed any over the time that you've been involved in it? I mean, from the days that you started in the Pro Cup after coming from Legends cars and whatnot?
I'll tell you, it's coming, but not as fast as we'd like to see it. And it really just goes down to right now the economy's hurting, and it's hard for any person to get a sponsor. And to be a female in racing when there's not many women that have proven themselves, it's that much harder. So, yes, you have the market in the sense that there's not many females, so for some sponsors it works well. But the problem is that there's no money out there right now, and you can't find the right team with the right equipment. And if you can't get the whole package, if you're a guy or a girl, it's not going to work. So, unfortunately, when there's only two or three women out there and those three women can't get the right deal, it just doesn't help anyone.
Yeah, well, it would seem from just observing as a, you know, standing on the sidelines observing that when you go to the races and you see when you see the people lining up at the cars during the autograph sessions, it would just seem to me that women should have, in a lot of cases, there's be a little bit of an advantage there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a great following, you know, ever since I've been in Legend cars. I've always had a great following, and you're right. I mean, the lines in Hooters and Busch East and Arca, you know, the females always have some of the longer lines, and people like to see the underdog do well. And,
right.
You know, it's just everyone's pulling for you, but the problem is the people pulling for you don't have the money, so it's just it's hard because if every person who was a fan of mine could give me even $100, we could probably make something work, but it's just
eBay. There you go. Put a donation thing, a PayPal donation, on your website, Michelle. Hey, the politicians do it. Maybe you can do it too.
That's what I said. I mean, I should just ask the politician for some money because with the budget they're spending, that would last me.
There you go. You don't have to vote for them.
Exactly. But,
you know, a guy did that last year. That's where we do a show, a drag racing show on Wednesday nights, and. There was a guy we came across last year, the guy I do with, Stevie Letempe. He's an announcer with the IHRA. And there was a guy at one of the big races towards the end of the year. He put his sponsorship up for bid for his last race on eBay. And so many people were sending him emails like they thought it was a joke or whatnot. But he ended up raising like, I don't know, $5,000 or $10,000. It was just totally off the charts.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. We've at this point in the season, being that the season's already begun, really how we're trying to attack it now is trying to hit different markets at the racetracks we go to. So per se, if we want to go to the Nashville ARCA race, we're trying to hit markets in Nashville that would obtain to them, so that way they could bring their employers and whatnot to the events. So that's kind of how we're attacking it now. Instead of looking for that one big deal, which would be great, but at this point, if we could at least go in the venues where these companies are, it would benefit all of us.
So let me ask you now, when the days come and you're not going to be out there in the car anymore, can you see yourself in this game from the business perspective?
Well, as a race car driver, you'll never get the itch out of you, I don't think. And so I would definitely say I would still always want to be a part of racing. At this point, though, I'm really not looking to be on the sidelines. I'm really dedicated to still being a driver, and I don't think I'll face the realization for another couple of years whether I would stay in it or not if I'm not a driver, because like I said, we've got enough stuff lined up where I'm going to make sure I'm in a car at least a few times a year for the time being.
Hey, Rick, I think she just batted that ball back in our court.
Yeah, that's a no.
That went nowhere.
I don't want to answer that right now.
That's funny. Go ahead, Rick. No, okay. So what would you like to race in this year? ARCA full-time?
Well, it depends how you look at that. I love the ARCA series, like I said, for the big track experience. But, of course, I would definitely like to stay in the NASCAR brand just for the simple fact of to be able to move up, you've got to stay you've got to keep your name in that series too. So we'd like to maybe dabble at some of the bigger races like a Dover and Loudon in the Bush East series. Mm-hmm. And then I would love to, like I said, go on the super speedways, get some experience there, and go to all the mile, mile and a half tracks in the ARCA series.
Now, as far as equipment, do you guys have all your own equipment?
No, we don't have any of our own equipment. Like I said, we've just aligned ourselves with some teams that, you know, basically if we get the money, I already know what teams we're going to. And we do have a good friend of ours, Rick Markle Racing. They were able to help me just being gracious enough to put a car together for me so I could go test at Daytona a few weeks ago, just for the simple reason of in case we did get money, I wanted to make sure I was approved for the super speedways. So we have a lot of people in our corner that are pulling for us, and when push goes to shove, there's usually someone there that's able to help us. But it all boils down to the almighty dollar. The more we have, the better help and more help we'll get.
Now, was that your first run on Daytona?
That was my second. I tested last year as well.
What's that like?
It feels slow. I was really disappointed. I was so excited to go there. It was the epitome of all racetracks to my mind. You know, growing up, that was my dream to go on Daytona. And don't get me wrong, it was a blast. But practicing yourself on a 2.5-mile track, I mean, they had fireworks off in the background last year when we went there, and I remember watching the fireworks down the straightaway and reminding myself I'm going 200 miles an hour.
That's something else. And it just doesn't feel like you're going anywhere.
No, it really doesn't. I felt faster in my Legend car going 90 miles an hour on a 3/8-mile track than I ever did on these big tracks.
I guess it's because stuff's going past you faster.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the weight ratio, too. I mean, these things are tanks compared to a Legend car. A Legend car weighed 1,300 pounds of the motorcycle engine. So.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll just keep an eye out for you. And when we land, I know you'll land something. When you do, we'd like to have you back on Real Racing USA. And what's the website where people can go check out your deal?
Well, actually, we just revamped the website. We just started a fan club as well to keep everyone posted, and they could just go to michellethariault.com.
All right.
We keep everyone up to date as far as appearances I'm doing and a tentative schedule if we come up with something. And like I said, we are just starting up some new merchandise as well, so we have a few things on there already.
So we can buy hats and stuff like that.
Yes, and all proceeds do go to Michelle Therrell's racing funds.
There you go. All right, Michelle. Thanks for spending
some time.
We wish
you the best of luck, Michelle.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Go get him, girl. Michelle Therrell.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
At least she's keeping a positive.
Let me tell you.
Positive attitude about
when
it.
When she went to the Hooters Pro Cup, we did an interview with her before, I believe. Yeah, it was before she'd even raced. You know, and when she made the jump, she'd been racing up at Lanier.
She raced for Martin Nesbitt?
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
At one point, yeah. And we did an interview with her and did a story. And I was really impressed with her tenacity and the fact that she just, regardless of the odds, she doesn't care. And you saw how she handled the question about, you know, no, we're not even thinking it. We don't have time to even give a thought to what's going to be on down the road.
Yeah.
We're dealing with what we're dealing with right now.
Got a race.
Yeah.
Got a
race.
I
mean, she has that attitude, and that's a winning attitude.
Yeah,
I mean,
no doubt.
It's a tough deal. So, tell you what, Rick, do you have any announcements or anything, or are we going to take a break and come
back?
Well,
I had some stuff up, but then that weird stuff happened, and I closed everything down, so I don't have nothing.
Yeah, boy, that was a strange thing.
Yeah, just
rogue computers, man.
Throw some extra commercials out there for somebody.
We'll be right back.
Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
Ah!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, Real Racing USA Live, winding down another Tuesday night. On the line with us right now, he finished third at the big race at Lakeland Sunday, Mr. Shane Sawyer. Shane, how you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Oh, doing great, man. I'll tell you what, it was good seeing you. I hadn't seen or heard anything from you in, I don't know, several years, and you made a show out there at Lakeland Sunday.
Yeah, I've been out of it for a little while. Probably going to start running some more again this year. Probably get down to Florida a few more times as well.
Now, you're up in Georgia now?
Yeah, I live on the north side of Atlanta now. We're racing a little bit up here, but plan to come to Florida a little bit more too.
Well, I guess after what you did at Lakeland, that was a pretty good showing in that field. I mean, you had some pretty good talent in a pretty big field of super late models, 200 laps, man, and you were there at the end.
Yeah, we had a pretty good outing. One of those good days.
And you say you're doing a little bit of racing up there. What's a super late model show like up there?
Well, unfortunately, they don't run super late models up here. It's what they call these freight cars. We run the Georgia Asphalt Series.
Oh, okay. Now, down here, you ran in the Sarah Series for a few years. How do you compare that crate late model stuff to the Sarah Series?
Very, very similar. Very similar. Same close, tight-knit racing. You know, everybody's got about the same power plant, so it puts it back into the driver and the handling of the car. Pretty challenging.
Now, when was the last time you did any really serious racing down here in Florida?
I've been up here for a couple years. So I guess I've been out of it about 3 years now.
Miss it?
I'm sorry?
I said, do you miss it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Once you start doing it, when I started doing it as young an age as I did, it's kind of hard to stay away from it.
Shane, when exactly did you start racing?
I started racing back as a youngster around 8 or 9 years old and did the go-kart thing up until the teenage years and started back again doing late models at probably the age of 20.
And you raced at just about every track here in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I've been everywhere in Florida, Georgia, and most of the Southeast.
What did, on Sunday at the rain-delayed race Speed Fest at Lakeland, you stayed out there. You didn't pit with that first group, right?
I think we pitted on lap 100 and change there, and we only took rights on. And then when they had that, put us in the back, we kind of had a fumbled pit stop there. We kind of had some volunteer guys, and of course they weren't used to pitting, so they put us back in the back. And then when they had the big crash there, we decided to come in and take on our left.
Yeah.
And then we were able to go on from there.
So you on that first pit sequence, you didn't go in. You followed. You stayed out there with Choquette and those guys.
Right, right.
Yeah. He said we talked to him last night on one of our other shows, and he said he didn't really understand why they came in at that time. He wasn't sure what that was about.
Actually, our car got better the long we ran. I think if it was, I mean, we could have went probably 250. 300 laps, if the gas would have allowed us.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So you managed to totally avoid that disaster down in turn one, that red flag deal.
Yeah, fortunately we did.
Yeah. So did you get a like, were you out there racing against Busch or Stremme, any of them guys? Did you get hooked up with any of them guys?
Actually, I think we in the later stages in the race, we were able to get past Busch for third place there, I think, with the laps were winding down with, like, 40 or 50 to go. So that was kind of interesting to get to pass somebody like that that does it races on Sunday.
Yeah. Got to feel good, man.
Yeah.
It's got to. Yeah, that's cool.
So how long did it take you to get back to the groove of Lakeland?
Oh, that's the first time I've been down there in probably 5 years. It was pretty much like, you know, was old hat. It wasn't really an issue.
Didn't miss much at all, huh?
No.
That's a racy racetrack, man.
Yeah, you get going pretty good there. It's one of those, and you're able to race there. It's a little bit more worn out than what it used to be when I used to run there, so it's a little bit more challenging setup-wise, but still a very fun place to race.
Now, Lakeland used to always be known as good on tires. With the wear, has it been a little harder on tires?
It's gone to a one groove racetrack now, unfortunately, and tire wear does play a big part into it, where before you couldn't even question the tire wear. So, you know, like anything else, it's getting pretty dated now, so yeah, the fault's starting to take its toll.
Yeah, it's been there for a long time. Hopefully it'll be there for a while longer. You know, there's been some questions about that racetrack being around.
That as well. There were some rumors floating around it possibly being done after this year, but hopefully not.
No, because, I mean, you know, all the years, you know, you and the Sarah Series and the Supers and the Pro, Burt's Pro Late Model Series and stuff,
right.
Always the best races right there at Lakeland.
Yes, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, you know, people around Florida, they talk about the old days back when Golden Gate and all them places were open, but in what would be maybe called the modern era, people always refer to the best times as the Sarah Series at racing around Florida, and particularly at Lakeland.
Yeah, I've got many, many wins there to show for it. I enjoyed racing there a lot.
Yeah, you know, go back in time a little bit. I mean, we've got a few traveling series now, but the Sarah Series, that was a show in its own.
Yeah, I mean, those were days I remember going to some of the tracks that we had as many as 45 plus cars, and a real good field as well. It's unfortunate that, you know, here again that has fallen by the wayside as well.
Yeah, and all the good things it seems like in racing do seem to go that way. You know, I can remember DeSoto had gone down to where they were only drawing 10, 11, 12 late miles, running 35, 50-lap races, and Rick Day brought the Sarah Series in there, and it was close to 40 cars that Friday night for practice.
Absolutely.
So what's next?
We're kind of thinking about coming down to Speed Week there next week and running a few nights. If the business will allow me to get away a few nights, we're looking forward to coming down there. I will probably definitely be down there a few nights, and then we're going to definitely hit all of the Lakeland races next year with the Sunbelt Series that they're going to have, and maybe a few more at Orlando and New Smyrna.
Okay, so Florida race fans will definitely be able to see you.
Yeah, I plan on coming
see
a few times. So.
Yeah,
it was
family down there and stuff, so I get to race on Saturday and go see them on Sunday and fly back on Monday. It works out well.
Yeah, it was really good to see Shane Sawyer at Lakeland.
Yeah, Rick and I had just got to the track, and you were going through the tech thing there, and I looked at Rick, and I didn't see you. I saw somebody scrunch down there in the seat. I said to Rick, is that the same Shane Sawyer? Yeah.
Not as young as I used to be.
Well, yeah, we hadn't heard of you or seen the car around in a while, so, you know, it was like, wow, it's a blast from the past.
That's cool.
Go ahead, Rick.
Well, Shane, who's helping you out with the car, brother?
I got a guy that works for me full-time up here in Georgia. He helps me out, and, you know, it's the same old thing. You know, if you're going to go fast, you got to work on your own stuff, so just like it was before. You know, I enjoy tinkering with him, so. A little bit more challenging these days with the new setups that are involved in things, so I'm enjoying that challenge as well.
Now, how much has it changed in the few years that you've been out?
I mean, for instance, that track, for instance, Lakeland there is stuff, we would have went back there when I was racing 4 or 5 years ago, and what we had there this weekend, you would have, I would ask myself if I was crazy what I took there, and opposed to that many years ago. It really has evolved into a setup man's game now. Setup is pretty much everything. That's why I think you see a lot of these younger kids now can come right into this stuff and be successful with virtually very little experience, and just because the cars are so good now and they're set up so well.
That they just drive that easy?
Yeah, exactly. They basically, for lack of a better wording, they drive themselves if they're right.
Right, yeah. No more getting up on the wheel.
No, you ain't got to hustle them like you used to and, you know, and drive them in way over your head like you used to just to make them make everything do what it needs to do, especially at Lakeland. As a matter of fact, they were getting on me for getting in the corner too hard, but then, you know, you used to drive in the old days, and just doesn't work with these new setups.
God, I remember that, man. And I used to stand down there in turn three watching Dickie Anderson qualify, and I remember one time telling my son, saying,
exactly.
Now watch everybody, watch the front end on everybody else's car when they come in, and then watch how far Dickie goes in before the front end goes down on his.
That's the way you used to have to drive those setups. The harder you drove them, the better they went, because the springs were conducive to that type of driving style.
No doubt about it.
Nowadays.
That's cool.
Yep. Well, Shane, it was great visiting with you, man, and it was really, really great seeing you at Lakeland, and looking forward to seeing you at New Smyrna.
Cool.
Yeah, same here, guys. I mean, you guys are doing a great job with that show also, by the way. We even know about you all the way up here in the north side of Atlanta, so keep up the good work as far as the show goes. You're really really getting the short track racing going down there in the Sunshine State again.
All right. Thanks a lot, Shane.
Okay, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Good night.
All right. We'll see you soon. All right.
Shane Sawyer.
Yeah.
Coming to New Smyrna. Speed Weeks.
Yeah, watch out.
World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing starts like the 9th?
The 9th, I believe.
Yeah, the 9th. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. And runs through the 16th. And I guess we're going to be there on the 16th doing a presentation.
Yeah.
Pete Orr
Memorial.
Pete Orr Sportsmanship Award at the Pete Orr Memorial on the 16th. But that's cool to see people like that coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool to see people like that coming back to this game. And he's coming back down here from up there. He's
up
coming
there,
because these guys all say, I mean, we talk to people all over the country, but the super late model drivers and the deal of the competition here in Florida is as tough as it is anywhere. And they all say
and
that.
And, you know, the late model scene is going basically to the crate late model deal. I mean, they're all going crate late model racing, unless you're in down here in Florida, up there in the Panhandle or in Lower Alabama.
Yeah.
Other than that, you don't see, you know, this Southeast, the ASA Southeast Tour is going to be super late models, you know, so maybe that'll revive it.
Maybe.
And, I mean, even talking to Martin Pierce, you know, the Southern All-Stars, he's talking about great late models.
Right, exactly.
You know, which used to be wide open. It was wide
700
open.
700 horse or whatever.
Yeah,
something insane.
Mountain motor late models.
Crazy. So tomorrow night, we got Straight Line with Stevie, as always, on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And then we have the ASA, O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, Wednesday night. And in upcoming weeks here, I'm telling you, in upcoming weeks here, we're going to have some crazy people. We're going to have 200-mile-an-hour boat racers.
Yeah.
Drag boat racers. I mean, these guys are insane. We're going to be doing some of these Supercross, these bike guys that are really crazy. I mean, that's really exciting. I was telling you about that the other day.
Yep.
To me, that's just, man, that's entertainment. And that's what that's what you're looking for.
So, some of them X Games guys in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're nuts. Yeah. This is real racing, man.
Real racing.
Yeah. If it's on the edge, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I think any other announcements we got?
I
know I'm forgetting something. I know it.
Yeah. Well, Winter Nationals, here we go.
Yeah, Monday night.
Next Thursday, live from East Bay Raceway Park.
That's right.
Next Thursday, the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Miles. We'll be talking to some of those drivers, officials, fans, and whoever else stops by.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
That's right.
Yeah. Until next Tuesday night, we're Real Racing USA Live. Good night now. It'll be better than before. Yes.
to the